Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It is a Titans Monday as the Titans win in miraculous fashion yesterday at Seattle. I woke up yesterday morning thinking the Titans were going to win. Then I saw Jayon Brown was out. I saw Taylor Lewan was out. And I lost my marbles in the pregame show with Mark Howard. And somehow, some way, they found a way to win. We'll have our full reaction. And, of course, that means we'll be taking your calls and everything else as well. But Mike Vrabel set to talk to the media at 2 o'clock today. And I got to tell you, Caroline, I'm a little bummed. And let me tell everybody, by the way, we are live at the Golf Course of Tennessee out here in Kingston Springs today because it is coaches versus cancer. I saw Philip Fulmer earlier today, Sean Farnham. I host it. He emcees it. I saw him out here today. So last year we raised $230,000 for the American Cancer Society. Mike Vrabel, though, live at the podium.
To build on that going into a division game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's not a challenge. Hopefully it's just to try to continue it and see what it looks like. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, what we want it to be, but you have to go out there and prove it. And you have to actually put it out on the tape and watch all three phases play that way, complement each other, and doing things to help the team win.
The stick sometimes with the run game with Derek, how patient do you have to be when it's not working for 2-3 quarters to still keep pounding?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a fine line just based on where the game's going. And, we felt like we did have time and that we were – doing some really positive things, and it was keeping us, efficient and keeping us out of those third and longers and helping us gain first downs. And so I think it's just all just the feel, and it's how the game's going and what the situation is. And, it was great that we could answer. And when you hit some big ones like that, like we did, certainly allows you to stay in that mode. So we just kept it close enough. We kept answering, and defensively we played just well enough in the second half to allow us to stick with the run game.
So I was just going to follow real quick. Do you start to see some signs maybe like on that early in the third quarter? It looked like maybe there was a little bit more daylight than there had been at least in the first half. Do you start to see things like that and say, okay, it's coming?
Yeah, I mean, we always want to avoid, negative plays. And, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Mostly it's execution, but working with some of the things that we did and with the silent cadence and the noise, and give them credit, with their run pressures and how they played. Just really proud of our guys with the effort in which they played with in all three phases. And again, it has to be better. We can play better, but. That was a big game for us, just the way that we all played in the second half.
What do you like about how Christian Fulton's playing early, and do you see his confidence maybe growing because of it?
Yeah, I think he's played, well. I think that we had high expectations for Christian and the way that he performed in the offseason and how he performed in training camp. And, confidence is a large part of life and football, and obviously, most importantly, playing corner. You get beat, you come back, you made a mistake. Came back, made a play, got us off the field on third down. So those are all really positive things. And, I thought he did a nice job of, not getting into it anything after the whistle. We finally eliminated some of the dumb stuff that gets you beat. That was, there was an opportunity, a bunch of opportunities for us to do some of those things. And, We stopped short of getting any sort of penalties.
Outside of that big play, it was a 68-yard touchdown on third down. Pretty much everything else seemed like it was in order. What was clicking for you guys to have that vast improvement?
Well, I mean, I think we swarmed. I think they played hard. I thought that they executed the plan on third down. I thought that there was a level of a rush that forced them out of there. And even on the first one, he took off and scrambled and was short of it. And unfortunate, again, that we had the communication and the breakdown there on the third and 11. But I think the biggest thing is that we have to make them earn everything. You know, it's hard to win, you know, when you give up, you know, 200 yards on five plays. I mean, that's, you know, you're lucky. You're really lucky to win that way. But then you have to look at the other, you know, 50 that gained 180. You know, you're playing pretty good defense when you can have 50 snaps that gain 180 yards. We got to get some turnovers, though.
Any clarity with Taylor Lewan at this point? And then also Roger also left the game. Any update on him as well?
Roger didn't finish. And, you know, obviously Taylor wasn't available. So I think we'll know more as we work our way through the week. And we'll see if we get both of those guys back.
What about Dan Crookshank? He had, I think it was like 34 snaps, a lot of dime packages. Well, what can you say about his play and how that helped kind of shift things?
You know, Dane needs to he had some mistakes, and there were some plays he'd like to have back. But, you know, I thought he played fast and showed up. He played with a speed that I think we are looking for. You know, so I think he, did enough to probably earn some more opportunities.
What do you think the guys up front answered the challenge from last week, especially going in, losing the starter, and then, like you said, losing Saffold during the game?
Can't say enough about that group. You know, it's this you know, that's who we are, man. At the end of the game, they're picking themselves off the ground, and you know, but they battled, they competed. You know, they got us a couple times on some pressures on third down that, you know, we have to be better on. But they gave us a chance to win. That unit certainly gave us a chance to win, and you know, Ty stepping in there, you know, that's something that he's done in the past. And then, you know, Bruce stepping in there and being in there for Roger. You know, that's kind of what we expect of them, and you know they did that.
Mike, a few times.
What is it that when the line is kind of patchwork like that, that Derek seems to run a little stronger, harder? Can you put your finger on anything as to why that seems to work so well?
I don't know. Maybe the guys that are in there, you know, playing hard and trying to get some extra efforts, and I'm not sure if Derek knows the difference, but you know, maybe it's just a good coincidence.
Guys like Michael Pruitt, Jeremy McNichols maybe give you a spark in the game. And how much does that do for a team when you've got guys, when they step in and perform like they did?
Well, we did a nice job of hitting some of those checkdowns that, you know, when they took off and got some depth, Ryan was able to find some completions and help us out with a checkdown, whether that be Derek or Jeremy or Pruitt.
Times about how teams use speed in the slot a lot more as their slot receiver. Is that something Elijah's getting used to, you think, as well? Is that something he has to adjust to?
I mean, I think that, there's a lot of ways that you can do your job, and I think that he probably has to understand, you know, what his skill set is and what the other player's skill set is and, you know, be able to try to disrupt them and, you know, find different ways to cover them. And, you know, that was one of the big plays, and you know, we couldn't get him on the ground when he did catch it down the field. That, you know, they're going to catch passes and they're going to make some plays. We just have to, you know, be able to get him on the ground and limit the, you know, the X play touchdown.
What's your opinion how the safety, non-safety was ruled at the end for progress for the quarterback, and just anything on film that made you think potentially could have been called a game ender?
No, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and debate the officiating. They didn't see it as a safety, and apparently they saw it as in the grasp and called a sack, and that's what it was.
On that last drive, you know, I know you talked yesterday about whether you go for two or not. When do you make that call even before you guys get the ball? Do you make it during the drive, or you know, when does that decision take place?
It probably takes place, you know, well before that, you know, when we take possession and just thinking, obviously, you know, here we are, we're, you know, if we get into the drive, right, if we get a first down, you're probably in four down territory. If you don't, you're probably going to, you know, punt and try to use, you know, three timeouts. Then once you get into the drive, it's, you know, right, we're in four down. And then, you know, knowing that, you know, how much time do they have left and do you feel like, you know, they're going to be able to come back and attempt a field goal or kick a field goal, right? So they get down there low, and you know, we kind of figured that we were going to kick the extra point.
I've got a question from the audience. Corey just wants to know about your team's response to adversity and just what that says about the culture.
Who's this from, Emily?
It's from
Oh, I thought you were having that from like an actual fan or somebody. Yeah, I mean, I just think that that's kind of who we are, and that's something that we have to embrace. We have to be able to build on the efforts that we played with in the second half, understand what got us to that point, to eliminate those. Our ability to take care of the football, our ability to score in the red zone, our ability to get off the field, our ability not to we have to play better in 2 minutes at the end of half. Let them out of bounds 4 times. It's inexcusable not to look over and get the call. All those types of things. But the silver lining is who we want to be, and sometimes what we have been here in the past kind of came to light there in the second half. So hopefully we can build on it. It's my job to show everybody, what it is that we can be in that environment with those circumstances there in the second half.
How big is it to have a win like this where you're overcoming so much adversity early on in the season when you inevitably face some adversity down the road?
Yeah, there's always going to be adversity every week. There's going to be something that happens. There's going to be things that come up, situations that come up. You want to try to be as consistent and as calm and controlled as you can be. Be prepared for things, and then allow the players to go play. And I'm just proud of the way that they played in the second half, and a lot of times in the first half. For us, our ability to put a long drive together. Unfortunately, it ended in a field goal, but there was a lot of great things going on that long drive offensively, defensively. Just have to continue to make them earn it, and not hand them things, and then find a way to play better on special teams.
Your team has been pretty successful in tight games during your time here. How much of that can carry over from last year into a game like this, like part of the culture, or how much is it important to establish a win like yesterday to help it carry over into the rest of the
year? Yeah, I think you probably need them each and every year. I don't think you can go back too long, but I don't think there's much panic. I think that we controlled the situation there at the end. Being able to go in there and score, use the clock how we wanted to, have conversations about, not rushing, and you don't want to leave a lot of time left for some of these quarterbacks and offenses. So I thought that was handled well. I thought our players understood what we were trying to do. Little conversation there about taking the runoff or using the timeout. So felt like we all were in unison in how we communicated that situation.
Patience with the rushing game, is that something like you guys discuss that throughout the week? Hey, we're going to do what we're going to do regardless. Like, how does that mindset develop?
Well, not regardless. I don't think you can ever go into a game and predict how it's going to go. You have to be willing to adjust and adapt and make some changes on the sidelines in all three phases. But then there's just a sense that as long as you're in the game and you can continue to be positive with it, and hey, we're one away, or there was one missed block, or there was a missed cut, or things that are close. You look like when it's close, you kind of want to stick with it. And when it doesn't look like it's very positive, you kind of got to move on to something else.
With Coach Downing, he has said that he wanted to make sure that your offense is dictating what happens. Is that patience in the rushing attack, is that a part of that?
Well, it is, and it also goes to set up a lot of the stuff that we're doing. We were able to convert some third downs that now got us into drives that now allowed us to hit a play pass, allowed us to hit, a shot down the field. But, that all is predicated on getting into the drives and trying to set some things up.
I was out of that, Pete Carroll had said that they were guarding all day against letting Derrick Henry break one. When it did, from you guys' perspective, can you see physically on the other side how it takes the wind out of their sails when that happens?
I think so. When they – when Derek's able to get to the second level and run past, one of their faster players and one of their better players, it got started. AJ got us into the play, blocked Adams. He's down there around the line of scrimmage and does such an excellent job. We got everybody covered up. We came back. Julio was able to get a block that, on the backside that, the play's never designed to go there. Just keep asking some of our better players that aren't involved with, that don't have the football in their hand to be able to to help us in other ways. And they did that, you know, most of the time. And, you know, just an outstanding effort by Derek in the run game and a lot of other people.
Improved in the passing game over your seasons, and how much does that allow you to keep him in that much more even than he had before? Well, I guess whether it's pass blocking or receiving.
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, it was good that Derek caught all the ones that we threw to him, and really that was you know, allowed us to get, you know, usually a first down. You know, there we had a lot more on the screen. You know, we got to look at it, look at our effort and look what happened there, which we will. But, you know, his ability to catch the football and get up north and south and those check down opportunities is good.
Blocker now.
There we go. That's good. All right, that's Mike Vrabel's press conference. Honestly, Vrabel's not in the mood to talk, and I'm not in the mood to listen to Vrabel talk about nothing.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's going to be a lot of, you know, we learned our lessons out there. We're going to go focus on Indy, the typical Vrabel answers.
And maybe he's right, he's wrong, I don't know. But, again, Coaches versus Cancer. Today we're at the golf course, the Golf Club of Tennessee, again, where that's going on tonight. Coming up next, we're going to basically start the show up next, where I'm going to break it down. My reaction to yesterday's win, because it was good that the Titans won. I'm not sure how the Titans won, given all the dumb things the Titans did. And there's one thing that I took away from yesterday's game that, honestly, we all kind of know, but I don't think we do. So when I get to that coming up next, my initial reaction, your reaction as well, text line call 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, our stream on Twitter, YouTube. You can just pull it up right on the TV, watch Stillman & Company for Reaction Monday, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
With an overtime win, Bullock from 36 yards away, kick on the way, and in.
Coming in a hostile environment, you know, last week we didn't play to our standards, which, you know, that was on us. You know, we took full responsibility for that game and, you know, in front of our fans. And, you know, coming way West Coast, you know, like I said, a hostile environment, the fans are relentless, you know, and for this organization, you know, and for this city. And, I mean, I don't think nobody expected us to come out here and get a W. But I knew we just stuck together, trusting, you know, what we preach and what coach preaches, how we practice and how we play, that eventually come together for us, and glad to come out here and get a win.
There you go. That was Derrick Henry yesterday. And let me say this. When Randy Bullock made the kick, I was watching the game last night with my dad. When Randy Bullock made the kick, I literally jumped up on the table and put my arms in the air because I was so just ecstatic. I was mentally drained watching that football game yesterday. But here, I'm going to start with my initial take. Normally, this would be the 2 o'clock segment. We played a little bit of Vrabel's press conference, so I'm going to start with this. This is my take from yesterday. The Titans had absolutely no business winning yesterday. The Titans did everything wrong. They dropped passes. They fumbled the football. They missed a field goal. They got a roughing the kicker. They busted 2 coverages that led to 14 points for the Seattle Seahawks, including the last touchdown, where literally they ran a play which was nobody get back and let the wide receiver run right behind you. A play that Seattle does not even practice. You know, they don't sit there during the week and say, hey, if everybody goes behind the DBs, just let them throw it, it's going to be a touchdown. They never, ever, ever do that. And the Titans screwed everything up. And there was one guy yesterday that just wasn't going to let the Titans lose, and it was Derrick Henry. You all know, if you listen to the show, that I have come up kind of a little bit with an obsession of Michael Jordan. And I'm watching the football game yesterday, and I remember listening to other players like Clyde Drexler, Charles Barkley. They talk about Jordan in the 90s, and they say Jordan just wouldn't let him lose. No matter what happened, Michael Jordan just wouldn't let the Bulls lose. And I'm watching yesterday, and I'm thinking Derrick Henry will not let the Titans lose. Even in the first half, when he had 40-something yards, I rewatched the first half this morning. Every carry looked like it was going to be -3 in the backfield, and somehow he got 2 or 3. Or somehow he got 4 or 5. And then all of a sudden, those 2 or 3 start becoming 8, and start becoming 7, and start becoming 60 and a touch. And Derrick Henry won that game for the Titans yesterday. He was the one guy who didn't make some kind of mistake, who didn't. He literally took over the game. Now, Julio Jones had a great game, too. But that was like, you know, Tony Kukoc or Dennis Rodman or something like that. Because Derrick Henry was like Michael Jordan yesterday carrying the Titans. Hell, he caught the ball yesterday. He never catches the ball. And Derrick Henry catching the ball out of the backfield was a total game changer for the Titans. So Tannehill played fine. Didn't like the fumble that led to a Seattle touchdown. Julio Jones played well. A.J. Brown dropped the football. They, you know, Michael Pruitt stepped up, made a play here or there. Defense played. It's all about Derrick Henry. And this is the question that I think I have to wonder now. How many games are going to be harder to win than that one? On the road, at Seattle, against a high-end quarterback, your starting left tackle, your starting middle linebacker who calls out your defense is out. Your starting safety, Amani Hooker, out against a Hall of Fame quarterback. How many more games on the schedule exist that will be this hard? In probably the hardest place to play in the entire NFL. They have not lost a season opener in Seattle since I was in college. Kerry Collins was the starting quarterback of the Titans the last time Seattle lost a home opener. They don't lose in Seattle. They had fans for the first time in a year. They don't lose. And somehow, even after you dropped all those passes A.J. Brown dropped, even after Nick Westbrook-Akina with the dumbest play of the day, Vrabel talks about doing dumb crap that hurts the team, that right there, roughing the punter, stupid. Missing field goals, fumbling the ball. I mean, just busted coverages, awful. And yet Derrick Henry wouldn't let them lose. So when you think about it, and I think about this, and I go, okay, how many games are going to be harder than Seattle? On the road at Seattle, the situation the Titans found themselves in yesterday. I said it on the pregame show. With Taylor Lewan out, knowing that right tackle's a mess, knowing that tight end's a mess, and Ferkser's out, and Jayon Brown's out, and Amani Hooker's out, I'm like, this could be 59-0 at New England bad. How many games are going to be harder? Maybe Kansas City at home. That might be the one game on the schedule that could be harder. Maybe you could argue the Rams in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football, except Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson. I'll take Russell Wilson. Harder place to play, Seattle or SoFi Stadium? I'll take Seattle. And somehow the Titans won because of Derrick Henry. And I have to ask the question, can he carry this team to a championship? That's the kind of game you have to win in the playoffs. I've always said this. That if Tannehill is going to win you a Super Bowl, because that's how we always talk about Tannehill. We know he's not the best quarterback. We know he's better than a lot of other quarterbacks, and it could be a lot worse. But the question is always with Ryan Tannehill, can he win you a Super Bowl? And I've said, I think that there comes a point in time with Tannehill where you're going to be down in a game 31-13 in the third quarter, and Ryan Tannehill is going to have to throw you back into that game some way, somehow. I never thought Derrick Henry could run you back in the game, but that's pretty much what happened yesterday. Derrick Henry ran you back into the football game. Even the big plays they hit, the big bomb over the middle early in the game to Julio Jones, play action with Derrick Henry, linebacker suck up, boom, right over the top to Julio. Derrick Henry is the Michael Jordan of the Tennessee Titans. And I just have to wonder, can he get enough in big games this season against teams like that? Can Derrick Henry get enough help from his supporting cast, from Tannehill, from Julio, if A.J. decides he wants to catch the ball, if the defensive line decides they want to play as well as they played in the second quarter yesterday against Seattle, and can they make their field goal? Derrick Henry could carry this team to a championship. I mean, I really thought yesterday, I just watched this game, and I'm looking at Derrick Henry, and I'm like, even on the short runs, the ones where he gained 5 yards, I thought he was going to get hit in the backfield and lose two. He had a touchdown where he's running to the right. Everybody runs with him. He's like, ah, screw it. Runs to the left, reverses the field for a touchdown. Unbelievable. And I just don't think people understand how lucky we are that we get to watch Derrick Henry do this on almost a biweekly basis. Unbelievable. That's my takeaway from the game yesterday. Coaching, Now, I'm going to give Todd Downing credit because I thought he called a great game. I mean, I thought he called a fantastic game as offensive coordinator. But the coaching, I didn't feel great about it. You know, I didn't think there was anything special there. Tannehill, didn't think there was anything special there. I thought at one point he looked like he was in rhythm, but he fumbles the ball and it leads to a Seattle touchdown. Can't have that. Julio looked pretty good. A.J. Brown looked terrible, so those kind of crossed each other out. They found a tight end in Pruitt who's still a backup, but he's better than what they've been doing. Offensive line held together some way, somehow, even though they almost got the quarterback killed a couple of times. Defense, I will say this. As unwatchable as the Titans' defense was last year, and as unwatchable as the Titans' defense was at certain points yesterday, I mean, you can't have those busted coverages. Like, you're not going to beat anybody doing that ever again. Defense held tough. And they held tough in overtime. They held tough in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. You know, they allowed that one bad touchdown. But I look at this game and I think Derrick Henry. So, to me, that's all I want to talk about. Derrick Henry. Julio played great too. Julio had a good game. And I'm going to say this. That was a touchdown. I mean, I don't know how. We live in this world where every color commentator thinks that you've never heard on television another color commentator in any sort of sport now, because it's in all the sports, that you've never heard him say, hey, you have to have indisputable video evidence in order to overturn a call. Well, the Titans won the game, and we're still disputing the Julio Jones touchdown grab. So where I sit, that is clearly disputable evidence, and it should have been a touchdown. I also thought it was a safety at the end of the game, too. But Julio played really well. But to me, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is the Michael Jordan of the Tennessee Titans. And as far as he goes is as far as they're going to go. You know why they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs last year? Because Derrick Henry had 60 yards. That's why they lost. And I think Todd Downing learned a valuable lesson from week one to week two. Doesn't matter if it's 28 to nothing. Give the ball to Derrick Henry, because that's how this team wins. And it doesn't matter if Derrick Henry gets 1 yard here, 1 yard there, 2 yards here, because eventually those 2 yards are going to become 8 yards. And those 7 yards are going to become 65 yards. And I just, my one big takeaway, you know, September football's weird, and, you know, who's good in September is almost never good at the end of the year. But there's not going to be a harder game than that. I don't think so. In that environment, against that quarterback, with your team playing as sloppily as they played, Titans were not good yesterday. Don't make any mistake about it. The things you got to do to win football games, they didn't do. Rough the punter. Unbelievable. You rough the punter against Russell Wilson, normally he makes you pay for it. You fumble the football inside your own 10-yard line, touchdown, other team. You bust two coverages for that's 21 points right there. Just gift-wrapped the Seattle Seahawks. Two busted coverages and the fumble, 21 points given to the Seahawks. You will never have a harder game than that. And Derrick Henry won it for you. It's all about Derrick Henry. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction. We'll get Caroline's reaction. We'll get Ian's reaction. Titans win yesterday. And I'm already to tell you, again, the Michael Jordan of the Titans. That was a Michael Jordan performance yesterday from Derrick Henry. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, we are live. Coaches versus Cancer today from the Golf Club of Tennessee, where Sean Farnham will MC it. I'll host it. And we've got all these great coaches, all these great basketball coaches from the area are here, going to raise a lot of money. So coaches versus cancer. Last year, we raised $230,000 for it, and that was a virtual event. Let me tell you about my friends at Edmunds. That's right. Buying a new car can be overwhelming, especially now that demand is back in full swing. Lucky for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category. So you can narrow your search and you can compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, my friends at Edmunds make it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. You've got helpful filters they can use. So you want a black car? Search black car. You want an SUV? Search SUV. You can search color, model, special features, engine type, drivetrain, price, distance, and more. They even show you dealerships that are offering home delivery. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see the best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com. For cars, there's Edmunds.
Here's Derrick Henry with some nice running. Henry trying to turn it on. Inside the 30. Stays on his feet. And he will go. Derrick Henry, 60 yards.
Michael Jordan of the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry, the big dog. Ian, can I get a let the big dog eat? Thank you. Derrick Henry, who reportedly the Titans tried to trade in 2018 at the trade deadline, ever since then has been popping in games just like that. Derrick Henry carries the Titans to one of the most improbable victories I can remember in 25 years of watching the Titans. Like, that was improbable. Neil O'Donnell at the on the road in Jacksonville was pretty improbable. Trying to think. Rob Baronis from 60 yards against Indianapolis in 2006 was pretty improbable. This one ranks right up there. Derrick Henry to the house. So, as I said, I think he's the Michael Jordan of the Titans, and he's the one who might have to carry this team. Caroline Fenton, your reaction.
Well, I think, you mean, while we're on the subject of Derrick Henry, I think we also have to address that he had a career-high number of receptions in this game. Yep. And that's something, if you're going to look at any little smudge on Derrick Henry's resume, it's that he's not a pass catcher. He's a true running back. He does not catch passes. But I think yesterday proved that, look, he's looking to refine his game. He wants to be a complete running back, and I think that we saw that yesterday. But I think you also have to give credit to two more guys on either side of the ball. Julio Jones, he had a good game. You cannot, following week one, say that the Titans potentially could regret trading for Julio Jones and then, you know, turn a blind eye to what he was able to do yesterday, because the Titans should have had 7 more points on the board because of what Julio Jones did. That was a touchdown.
Four? Kicked a field goal.
Okay, yes. But
touchdown. That was a great catch.
And he had a great game. And I think you also have to give a ton of credit to Christian Fulton. He was able to get in DK Metcalf's head like no other. That defense, you know, although it's not great, what we were able to see from Christian Fulton, I think, is just a glimpse of what he's going to be capable of for the Tennessee Titans defense.
Here's what I don't like, though, about that. And the reason, like, Fulton was awesome.
He had a great game.
And Julio was good. But I don't think what they did yesterday matters at all if it's not for Derrick Henry. Like, it's like,
that's,
it's
probably
like
fair.
And I think this is, again, using this Chicago Bulls analogy. Like, Michael couldn't do it by himself. Michael didn't score 100 points in a game to beat Utah, you know, 100-99, because Michael had all 100. You know, like, Dennis Rodman had a rebound, and Scottie Pippen had to, you know, do everything. And yet, Michael was, you know, it was like, he's Michael Jordan. And that's how I feel about Derrick Henry. I mean, think about the games that they've won over the years where they've won because of Derrick Henry. Like, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in Nashville. Tannehill threw for 181 yards, and they beat the Chiefs because of Derrick Henry. And I keep thinking about this, and I'm like, you know, you're going to have more players step up and play. If not, they're going to put all 11 guys in the box, and every time you try to hand off to Derrick, he's going to get stuffed 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But I just think that team, the way the Titans were playing, if it wasn't for him, I just think that the Titans would have gone inside the shell. They'd have gotten blown up in the second half. It'd have been 41-13, and everybody would be talking about whether or not Downing's got to go and Bowen's got to go. And because, trust me, everybody was talking about whether or not Downing and Bowen have to go at halftime. And Derrick Henry just – I just can't get over Derrick Henry. And I almost feel like – Christian Fulton had a good game.
Yeah.
But that's not like, I feel like it's almost disrespectful to Derrick's performance yesterday. And we talked about Derrick.
To give credit to anyone else?
No. To act like they're at the same discussion with Derrick. Like, to me, like, there's Derrick, and then there's everybody else who played well. Didn't Nico Autry played well yesterday? Yeah. Bud Dupree played well yesterday. Like, a lot of guys played well yesterday. But there's Derrick, and there's everybody else. And I think Julio, and Julio had a great game.
And I don't, but I don't think it's fair to put Julio in the same conversation as A.J. Brown's performance yesterday, or Christian Fulton's performance in the same conversation as Elijah Molden's performance
yesterday.
Well,
those are guys that played good. We're talking, those guys played bad.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, so we're not putting them in the same conversation.
No. But there's a lot of guys that played really well yesterday, and there was a differing degree of, you know, how well did this guy play? Like, how well did Dane Cruikshank play yesterday? I thought he played okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but
offensive line looked improved.
But there is, you know, Nate Davis can go. We're going to talk about Nate Davis in a little bit. Oh, my God, did he suck. I thought I was watching Chance Warmack out there. But I keep going back to this. I think it is Derek, and then we talk about everybody else after that. Just like it was Michael, and then we talk about Scotty and Horace Grant or Tony Kukoc or Dennis Rodman or and Steve Kerr and John Paxson. Great. Michael. Derek. That's how I felt about Derek's performance yesterday.
Well, I mean, you mentioned, you know, coming back from the half and just getting, you know, like kind of climbing into their shell. And that's kind of exactly what I thought the Titans were going to do. I mean, the Seahawks scored 21 points in the second quarter. And I thought that was, you know, what have we heard so much about this Tennessee Titans team? You got to get going early, get the momentum moving early, because once they're in a rut, it's incredibly hard to get out of it, especially when you're playing the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. That's an incredibly difficult rut to get out of. And I do think that Derrick Henry was the catalyst in getting that team out of that rut and getting being able to get things moving. And that goes back to our discussion last week, that Derrick Henry is very much so a leader on this team, that he leads and everyone else follows suit. So Derrick Henry is able to get things moving for the Titans. The Tennessee Titans follow suit.
Oh, I think Derrick decided after last week he's the alpha now.
He is the leader.
Because he did that after the game was over in the locker room. Mm-hmm. The Titans put out a video on Twitter, and Derrick Henry was basically, you could tell, okay, he is the alpha dog around here. Derrick Henry's the alpha. Even his interview after the game. Ian, if you can give me a Derrick Henry clip right here, I'll give you a second. But Derrick Henry doesn't really ever like talking to the media, because I think he kind of views it as like, you know, losers talk and winners work.
And I think he has that same kind of Vrabel Saban mindset of like, you know, talking to the media is just getting in the way of me preparing for the next game.
Yeah, but like, I think Vrabel and Saban, like, I think they use it too. Like, they understand that there's a two-way street here.
Of course.
Derrick Henry looks at the media like, you know, hey, people that waste their time to be good in front of the camera, they waste their time doing that. I'm going to spend all my time working out. I'm going to spend all my time watching film. I'm going to spend all my time in treatment. And he just doesn't have that kind of personality. In fact, I remember when Mike Mularkey was on the hot seat and they asked him, you know, hey, do you want to say something about your coach? It wasn't, oh, yeah, Coach Mularkey's great or whatever. It was, yeah, we don't listen to outside noise, and just walked off. But listen to Derrick Henry yesterday, because I feel like he realizes, you know what, I got to be the alpha dog in these press conferences if I'm going to be the alpha dog for the team. So here's what Derrick Henry said.
Is anyone talking halftime, Derrick?
Say it again?
Among the players, anybody saying anything during halftime?
The only person that talked was the head coach.
And the message, you said, basically, it's not about saying what the identity is, but showing it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sit here and talk and not go out there and do. So that's what coach is talking about. We can talk all we want, but until we go out there and do it, you know, it's just talk. So, you know, we just want to go out there and put it all together. And like I said, happily to get a good win, get the right team in a hostile environment.
So I actually, it was more kind of Derek coach talk than I thought, but I felt like Derrick Henry understands. I think this is the one thing that we all have to understand. They can't do this without him. They can't do anything without Derrick Henry. So if this is going to be, remember when we would talk during the Preds playoffs and you would like read a text and you'd see a text in the text line and you'd be like, you know, Johnny asked the question about whether or not, you know, if Soros gives up three goals today and I was like, you lose. Like once you get to, you lose. You have a playoff game like you did last year against the Baltimore Ravens where they stuffed Derrick Henry, you lose. I've just decided like, and I think Todd Downing realized a valuable lesson from week one to week two. And the valuable lesson was, I think he let the game dictate how he was going to use Derrick Henry. And I think now, even though they were down, what was the score at half? 24-9?
I think so.
He decided, I'm not going to let the score dictate how I use Derrick Henry. I'm using Derrick Henry. I just think the only way this team wins is if Derrick Henry is still the focal point of what they do. He doesn't have to run for 180 every single game like he did yesterday. But it almost has to, he has to be effective in every game they play. And I thought yesterday, and I'm not taking anything away from Julio, I'm not taking anything away from Christian Fulton. I'm not taking anything away from DeNico Autry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking anything away from Randy Bullock, who, I mean, you know, say a prayer every time the Titans go to kick. But I'm not taking away anything from any of those guys.
I thought it was almost ironic that it felt like Randy Bullock saved the Titans yesterday.
It's really weird how that works. Like, the guy misses a kick, and everybody wants to run him out of town. But then he makes the next one that wins the game. And so
he's
like, yes.
And yeah, he's king of Nashville.
Yes. And so that happened there. So, yes. But at the same time, to me, you cannot convince me that Derrick Henry is not. I mean, we all know he's a superstar. He's the fourth best player in the league. But you cannot convince me that Derrick Henry did not just win them the hardest game on their schedule. Like, single-handedly, Derrick Henry leading the team just won what I think is going to be the hardest game on their schedule. 615-737-1025. Now we get to your reaction. 615-737-1025. Like we've done, we'll do the calls first, and we'll get to your text because it is a Reaction Monday. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling here on the program, so we'll get more into that as well. And it is a reminder that, hey, if you're feeling old, and a lot of guys feel old, if you're feeling old and you want to get back to the way you know you used to felt, you need to talk to my friends at Invigorate Health. Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com. You need to talk to them today because maybe what you're missing in your body is a mineral or a vitamin deficiency, or and so you get a consultation with them, and they'll tell you exactly what you need. It might be an IV therapy you need. You know, where they just stick that IV right in there and it helps increase mental capacity and hydration and getting your body, you know, right and in the shape you need to be, everything else. Maybe it's hormone therapy, replacement therapy. Maybe you're missing testosterone. Maybe you're missing something else. They need to get you on, you know, they'll need to get you on a program that will bring back your vitality. Maybe it's the InSculpt Neo. You just can't get rid of that belly fat. So what do? They do the non-invasive InSculpt Neo where it burns 30% fat, adds 20% muscle, and it will help that definition. It'll help that belly, your hips, your thighs, your waist, everything. They know exactly what's right for you once they see you, and their doctors and nurses can check you out and say, okay, this is what your body's missing to help you feel young again, to help you lose those pounds that you can't lose, to help you get the energy that you used to have that you don't have anymore. So Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com. Check them out. Again, if you're just feeling like, you know what, I just need something, just call my friends at Invigorate Health. Get a consultation in there. Let them get you going. And maybe when they decide, hey, this is what we feel like might be best for you, you say, maybe that's not for me. But guess what? Just give it a try. Because I'm telling you, everybody that goes there feels way better afterwards. InvigorateHealthTN.com. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. My guys, Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com.
They give it to Henry. Reverses field. Henry at the five. Can he get in? He will. What a run and a touchdown for Derrick Henry.
What a run is right. That was a, I mean, Derrick Henry was so freaking awesome. We'll get to your reactions. I see your phones. We'll go right to them. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I do want to say somebody texted me and said, is there anybody that disagrees with you that Henry has an important role on the team? The Titans have built a team around him in ways that make him and the team successful. And I saw that and I said, okay, here's the thing, though, that I think I'm not getting home to the people. That I just, after watching yesterday's game, I've just decided this is. When we talk about the Indianapolis Colts of the 2000s, we all recognize that Marvin Harrison was good and Reggie Wayne was good and Edgerrin James was good and Jeff Saturday was good and Bob Sanders was good and Tony Dungy was a good coach. But we know why the Colts were good.
Because of Peyton Manning.
Yes. That's what this is. This whole team, all about him. Tannehill's good because of him.
But I think it's easier to say that when you're talking about a quarterback.
Because traditionally, it is a quarterback that
that's
is what
the leader
drives
of your
you.
Offense.
This is not 1972. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the Titans are going to win. Like, if the Titans are going to win, it's going to be because him. Like, that's like it was about Manning, like it was about Brady, like it was about all these great quarterbacks that we've talked about. He's them on this team. Tannehill is the running back on this team. You know, where it's like, hey, Edger and James won a rushing title and whatever. Let's go to your phones on Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Steven is going to kick us off today. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Steven.
I agree with you that Derrick Henry was a big part of the game, but I really felt like this was one of the most team wins that I've seen in a long time. The defense, other than a few major gaffes, and they were major because they pretty much gave a touchdown up every time, they were stifling. They were all over Russell Wilson the entire game for the most part. And then the run from the punter. I mean, that wasn't the defense's fault either. And then Tannehill, he threw the ball 40 freaking times and probably would have completed 32 passes if A.J. Brown didn't drop six of them. You know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
when can you say Tannehill throws the ball 40 times and we still win the game? I felt like he threw the game open, and then Derrick Henry did Derrick Henry things.
Thank you for your call, Steven. Here's the difference, in my opinion, between a team win and what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a team win is when you go into a game like that, and you know, hey, this is going to be really, really hard, and we don't have any tackles, don't have any tight ends, don't have a middle linebacker that calls out the team. We ain't got anything, guys. And you fake a punt, and somebody who you're not expecting comes up with a big interception that changes the game, and you get your kicker goes out and hits from 54, and Tannehill hits Westbrook Akina for a touchdown here, and then they, knock a ball out there, and they didn't do that yesterday. I mean, the team was trying to help them lose. The team played terrible. The Titans, there is no game you can go in and do the dumb things the Titans did. The Titans gave up a touchdown, took a touchdown off the board because Ryan Tannehill couldn't wait for Josh Reynolds to get set. Like, that's inexcusable.
And I think there's also a difference between the rest of the team playing a great game and also the rest of the team just playing better than they played in week one, because I don't think the ceiling was that high. I mean, yes, like there were, like, Christian Fulton had a great game. Overall, the Titans defense was fine. I don't think it was anything that you're going to write home about. It was better than week one. It was better than what we saw in 2020. Julio Jones had a great game, very much so better than week one, but AJ Brown took a step back, of course, obviously with six drops. But I mean, I'm with you. I think that Derrick Henry absolutely, hypothetical game ball to Derrick Henry. But there were other elements at play there. But
I mean, David Long Jr. had a great game yesterday.
Yes.
Nobody's talking about David Long Jr. having a great game. The Indianapolis Colts, I keep going back, like I'm going to keep using the Colts here as the example. The Indianapolis Colts in the 2000s, Peyton didn't throw the ball to Peyton, and Peyton didn't block for Peyton. And the defense, Bob Sanders played a huge role. When he came back from injury, that was a different team. You can't win in a team sport with one guy. It's not golf. My point is, Derek is as valuable to this team winning a game like this as Russell is to that team winning a game, as Peyton was to that team, as Brady was to that team. That's how valuable Derek was. That's not to say nobody else played well, because a lot of people did play well. Michael Pruitt had a good game yesterday. But to say team win, Titans made way too many mistakes for me to look at this and say, hey, good team win, guys. Nate Davis got Tannehill killed on a play. Like, you can't – I mean, the Titans left a lot out there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the crazy thing about this game. You go to Seattle, you're playing Russell Wilson. You give Russell Wilson this much stuff, and you still win the game.
You're also playing against the refs a little bit, too.
Oh, my God, Hussey's crew. They were
so
awful.
Bad.
They were awful. Did
so
you see that
bad.
One? Did you see that one where they spotted the ball on a third down? They were clearly a yard short, like late in the game, fourth quarter, and they spot the ball, or it's clearly short. Like, he tries to reach it out. He doesn't even get close. And so they spot him short, or they spot him with a first down, and Vrabel doesn't challenge it, and Seattle runs to the line, and I'm like, who's watching this game? Oh, Hussey's crew was horrible.
The safety at the end of the game, the safety they didn't call, very obviously
they were afraid
a safety.
To call that. They knew it was a safety. They were afraid to call it. Because if Russell had spun out, fired the ball down the field for a 15-yard completion, like we've seen Russell do,
right,
they'd have said 15 yards. But they said, no, we called it dead at the half-yard line because, God forbid, we end the game on a safety because we're too afraid to do that. Awful. Let's go to Josh, who's up next here on Stillman & Company. He wants to do a three up and three down. Josh, just give me a thesis right now. Give me your one thing you liked and one thing you didn't like.
I got you. Okay, no problem, guys. Yeah, so I couldn't even listen to the radio last week, honestly. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But this week when I tuned in, I was like, you know what, I want to hear a three up and three down, and I realized it wasn't going to happen. So I guess I'll give you, I guess, my number one for both. the secondary in coverage, I know it's going to take some getting used to with Jackrabbit and, Fulton, and Molden has gotten burned twice now on spot routes that, was kind of pretty bad in both games the first two weeks of the season. And then, the O-line injuries and kind of the unreliability of the O-line is another thing. I think general uncertainty at kicker, at O-line, at safety. I had to freaking look up who number 30 was. I watch the Titans a lot, right? And I'm like, sure. Who the hell is this number 30, right?
Sure.
And so, McDouglas. And it's weird for a hardcore Titans fan who knows most of the roster to have to look up who the heck was playing strong safety. But, obviously Tannehill and Julio finding that connection, I think, was huge. And then the resiliency and the coaching adjustments in the second half was huge. And then I think Henry, the biggest up, Henry showing that he can be a complete back, just him being able to run those little curl routes underneath and just,
Josh, I appreciate your call. I think we need to differentiate this Derrick Henry catching five passes thing. Like, he's not Marshall Faulk.
He's not a wide receiver.
The key, he's not Alvin Kamara.
But
key here is to get Derrick Henry the ball in space, and everybody's so... I thought Derrick Henry in pass protection yesterday was more impressive than Derrick Henry catching the ball. Because there were a couple where there was a rusher coming, and it was a play-action pass, and Tannehill's stepping up to throw the ball, and Derrick Henry, I thought Derrick Henry, meets that rusher right there and keeps him out of Tannehill's face. Because that's more important, because you can't be on the field if you can't pass protect. Nobody's worried about Derrick Henry catching the ball. What Derrick did yesterday is you get scared of him anytime he gets the ball in space. Well, if he can pass protect, then he can be on the field on 3rd and 7. And if he can pass protect, then you're dropping guys back to the sticks. You throw it to Derrick short. I think every coach in the league is scared to death of Derrick Henry getting the ball and turning around with space to run because you know he's going to pick up the 3 yards to get you a first down. That is Derrick catching the ball for me. That's the important part of that. This idea that, like, Derrick Henry went out there and, now all of a sudden, hey, watch out.
He's not going to be catching 60-yard passes.
Yeah, no, he is not Christian McCaffrey.
But just being able to see Derrick Henry catch the ball and be utilized a little bit more in the passing game, I think, is encouraging.
Reaction Monday continues with more of your reaction. We're right back to your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're live at the Golf Club of Tennessee. Once again, coaches versus cancer tonight. Really looking forward to raising another $230,000, maybe even more, for the American Cancer Society. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the National Soccer Club. Listen in this Wednesday as Nashville SC takes on Miami. Pre-game at 6:15. The match begins at 6:30.